you learned in Bible study about the proclamation of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, we're going to read several verses. I say several verses, we're going to skip around. And would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We'll read verse 57 and 58 and verse 80, and then we're going to jump over to chapter 3. Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. Verse 80. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Now look with me in verse number 15 of chapter 3. Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. You may be seated. As I began working on my pilot's license, there's a lot of things in aviation. I equated it to like drinking water through a fire hose when you're trying to get your private pilot's license, and you're clueless about a lot of the things that go into it. Have you ever got involved in a project and just didn't realize just how much was involved in that project? Huh? That's okay. You can talk. You know, this is yes, this is no, okay? You get involved in those projects. And one of the things that is very important in aviation is the weather forecast. You want to know what you're up against when you go to prepare that plane and whether or not you're going to even be able to fly. Now, in particular, my rating at this current time is VFR. I mean, I'm in the low rung of the ladder. It's called VFR, Visual Flight Rules. And there are certain prerequisites that have to be in place in order for me to legally, quote, legally fly the airplane. And primarily, it has to do with the forecast. And I have to know what the weather is. I have to know what the weather is going to be. I have to know whether or not I'm going to be able to avoid clouds and what spacing, if I'm going to have the correct spacing away from clouds because I'm not rated to fly in or through or around the clouds. It's called visual flight rules. I have to be able to visually see where I'm going, who is around me. I have to have at least a minimum of a 2-mile visibility in order to fly at VFR rules. So when you think about that, forecasting becomes a very, very important part of my flying. Now, when it comes to forecast, there are a lot of resources available to pilots in my particular rating class that are available to you. You have METARs, you have TFRs, you have TAFs, you have prog charts, you have special websites you can go to. You can pick up the phone and call the ATIS and listen to the weather forecast so you know what you're up against and where you're going. You have the TAFs or terminal area forecast, which I flunked the first time I went. Didn't know that answer the first time I went to do the test, but that's a whole other story. But anyway, terminal area forecast is very important because that will tell you what the weather forecast is where you are going. When you file your flight plan, you call up, you file your flight plan, and they give you what is called a weather briefing. They give you the forecast along the route in which you are proposing to fly. They let you know what the winds are. They let you know what the cloud cover is. They let you know whether it's going to be precipitation or not. They let you know whether or not you can fly VFR from the point of your departure to the point to where you are landing. It lets you know. It becomes very important. If you get above the clouds and you cannot get down because there's cloud cover and you're now flying, you have a predicament here, all right? If you're flying VFR, you cannot fly through those clouds. You have to have an opening that meet those requirements, and those requirements are found in the forecast. The forecast becomes a very, very important part of flying. Now, I probably told you more about piloting than you ever wanted to know this morning, but nonetheless, it fits with what we're talking about this morning because there was one who was forecast to come and who was going to forecast about someone who was coming, who was mightier than he was. Now let me just tell you something about prophets. The Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 18 in verse 20 and verse 22, it has specific rules and specific things about prophets. And if a prophet was to speak in the name of God, and the thing did not come to pass that he had spoken, that prophet was to be put to death. The children of God were not to listen to that one who was proclaiming to be a prophet. So the prophets who would tell these forecasts of the foretelling of things to come was a very significant thing and a very important thing. And the reason I bring that out is because I want you to understand the importance of the prophets to get it right. Okay? Their life depended on it. It's important for a pilot to get the forecast and know the forecast is right because his life depends on it and those who may be flying with him. Forecasting and foretelling, it's an important thing. And these guys understood the importance and the significance of forecasting or foretelling what was to come. Now, when we think about John the Baptist and we think about the passage that we read, why would we even be interested and sharing about John the Baptist? Let me just tell you, it is very significant, the life of John the Baptist, because it is directly connected to the coming of Messiah. You see, there was a forecasting, a foretelling of one of a voice crying in the wilderness in Isaiah chapter 40 and in Malachi that talked about one who would come before the Messiah, who would make the path straight, who would preach, who would proclaim about Messiah, and the Messiah would immediately appear and come on the scene. So you see, without John the Baptist and without his coming and fulfilling what the Old Testament prophets said about him, and without his coming and doing exactly what he did, and then Christ coming on the scene, if that didn't happen, there would be evidence and an argument against that Jesus Christ isn't who he says he is. So the life of John the Baptist is significant on many, many different levels. Not only because of example, but because of the message he preached, and we'll get to that in just a moment. So when we talk about John the Baptist, don't dismiss as, oh, that's just another prophet he's going to tell us about this morning. No, this is very significant because it's directly connected to Messiah and who Messiah is and is to be. First of all, we see the proclamation about John. As we've already mentioned to you, it was foretold through the prophets. You read Isaiah chapter 40 and you read verses 3 through 5, and it talks about this voice that was crying in the wilderness. You go to Malachi chapter 3 and you read verse 1, and it talks about one, again, a voice crying in the wilderness, make way or make straight the way of the Lord. So it is important to know that before John ever came on the scene, before Zechariah was ever told, before anything was ever happened that related directly in the New Testament to John the Baptist, it was foretold in the Old Testament prophets. And that is very, very significant. Because had this not been foretold by the Old Testament prophets, John really wouldn't be any different than any other man. But the fact that it was foretold and that John fulfilled the prophets, what the prophecy said about the one crying in the wilderness, and because of John's life and how it was outlined and what he was demanded or commanded to do and that he followed through on that, it is significant that it was foretold by the prophets. Not only that, it was foretold to the priest. Now, the interesting thing about this priest that it was foretold to, it just happened to be his father. Look in our passage in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, look at me, in verse number 8. So it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at their house at their hour of incense. And the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now understand the significance of all of this. Zacharias is a priest. He's acting as priest over the division. So Zacharias was a man who understood and knew the Old Testament scriptures. He knew that Messiah would come. He knew the Old Testament prophets that Isaiah had talked about in Isaiah chapter 40. He understood that there would be a forerunner to the Messiah. Now let me just put this in as a parenthesis here, so we all are reminded of this. God always has a plan. God always has, there's nothing that's going to catch God off guard. There's nothing in your life, there's nothing in my life, that God, with something was to happen, God is never going to be on his throne and go, "Man, I didn't see that one coming." You and I will do that. There's been times in my life where there's been unexpected events take place that I didn't see coming, but there is absolutely nothing that catches God by surprise, and God has a plan in everything that he does. And now he has just sent an angel, the angel Gabriel, to foretell to Zacharias, the priest, that he was going to have a son through his wife Elizabeth. So the proclamation of John, it was foretold by the Old Testament prophets. It was foretold to the priest, Zacharias, who is his dad. Now the second thing that I want us to look at, not only the proclamation of John, but I want to look at the parents of John. I think this is a significant thing. As I was studying and reading through the passage and thinking about, you know, all, what we try to do is, how does this relate to us? And I think these parents relate to us on so many different levels. First of all, let's look at the character of John's parents. Look at me in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 6. And they were both, well, let's just back up to verse 5. It identifies Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, verse 6, and they were both righteous before the Lord. They were both righteous before the Lord. How could they be deemed righteous before God? What is that definition? What does it mean? It is that they lived righteously. Well, how do you know that? Well, the second part of verse 6, notice what it says. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, and notice this word, blameless. Not only were they righteous, but they were also walking in obedience to God. Now, if we're a follower of Christ and we say that we know Christ, there should be the desire in our heart to live a righteous life. And some of you, I know you, and some of you, I would say, you live a righteous life. Don't be shocked. I do think that about some of you, all right? Now the rest of you, I'm not going to tell you which ones are which. But also, there is the desire to walk in obedience to the Lord, to walk in accordance to his will. Now the interesting thing about Zacharias and Elizabeth, it says they did this and they walked according to all the commandments of the Lord, blameless. Meaning, no one could lay to their charge that they did not obey God. Their character was impeccable, not only as far as how they lived their life, but notice it says that he served the Lord. Not only was he walking obedience, but he also served God. Notice what it says in verse number 8. So it was that while he was what? Serving as priest before God. He was serving the Lord. Not only was he serving the Lord, but he was a prayer warrior. He prayed to God. You say, how do you know that? Well, verse 13 says that the angel said to him, your prayer has been heard. So your prayer cannot be heard if it's never been offered, correct? I know that's pretty deep this morning. But that tells us something about Zacharias and Elizabeth. They prayed. He prayed. Your prayer has been heard. So all of us, when we think about this, we say, you know, they were righteous. They walked in obedience before God. They served the Lord. And they prayed beseeching God. And God heard their prayer. Now, when you think about that, you would think, wow, they've got it all together. They're some of God's choices. They are absolutely, there's nothing. They probably had absolutely no problems in their life. Well, now I want you not only to see their character, I want you to see their crisis. Because you see, even if you are obedient to God and you walk in obedience and you serve God and you pray to God, listen to me, there can be and probably will be crisis that will come to your life. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. I'm going to hold both my hands up. Oh, yeah. I mean, the times that I think, I've got it on. I mean, I'm serving the Lord. I'm praying. I'm walking in obedience, hopefully blameless, and all of these things, and boom, something happens. And I don't understand why. I mean, I've checked all the boxes. Notice what it says. Their crisis, first of all, verse number 7. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. You see, having a child and an heir in the culture was a very important thing. It was socially important. And so, There were times they felt, if you say, well, how do you know that? Well, first of all, the fact that they prayed about this. Well, how do you know that they prayed about that? Well, what does the angel say? It says, your prayer has been heard. Your wife is going to have a son. So it was an important thing in their life, and they had prayed for it. Now, understand this. They probably have prayed now for a long, extended period of time for this. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, because it says that she was barren and they were both well up in years. They were probably my age or older. Britta hates with it. You're not old. Don't give in to that. I'm getting older. That's all I know. Things don't quite work as quickly as they used to. Last Sunday, I'll just give you a quick example. Last Sunday, Devin comes through, buys a truck. Jeremiah helps him find this truck. Buys it in New Mexico. He lives in Virginia, buys it in New Mexico. Kids, never can do anything with them. I'm sure they don't have any trucks like that in Virginia. But anyway, he bought one in New Mexico, drove through. He had called me and said, Dad, you think you can help me drive home? I got to be at work on Monday. So he flies to New Mexico on Saturday, drives through here on Sunday. I said, do you think you could call Donnie and maybe he could go with you? Yeah, I'll call him. He couldn't go, so okay. I'll help you. I'll go. I found out I don't recover from those all-night trips like I used to. I can't tell you how many times I get up and walk around the house feeling pretty good. I sit down, holding my granddaughter, and I fall asleep. Can't even enjoy holding my granddaughter. I don't recover quite like I used to. Well, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they understood this. They had prayed. They were up in years. And now the angel of the Lord is saying, we've heard your prayer, but now you understand. Zechariah's point, he says, but wait a minute. We're beyond those years. So you see, they had been praying. And they had gone beyond the years of when they could actually biologically and psychologically and have a child. And he points that out. But you see, First of all, it teaches us to stay faithful in prayer because God hears our prayers. He don't always answer them on our time. You ever offered up prayers? You wonder if God was listening to you? You wanted God to answer your prayer right then, right there, right now? So they had a crisis. They didn't have a child. Not only they had a crisis, not only of being barren, but they had a crisis of belief. Let me tell you, this is a man who is both righteous, obeyed the law, walked in obedience, was found blameless when it came to the law. This is one who was serving God, one who prayed, one who was acting as priest and burning incense before God in the temple. And you read the account as the angel is speaking to Zacharias. You get down, I believe it's in verse number 20, where it talks about, he said, behold, the angel speaking, Gabriel, speaking to, back up to verse 19. He says, the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel who stand in the presence of God. Now, first of all, that would be a pretty awesome thing when you're talking to the angel and all of a sudden he says, buddy, let me tell you who I am. I'm Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. That'll get your attention, won't it? And notice what he says, verse 20. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place because, notice what it says, you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Basically, his words, think about it in these terms. He was an angel sent from God who stood before God, had a word from God. And Zacharias didn't believe him. And he's saying, these words that I have spoken to you will be fulfilled in their own time. Whose words were they? They were God's words. And God will fulfill his promises and fulfill his word in his time, not in our time. And here you have a man, and I think all of us can identify with this. He was being faithful. He was serving God. He was praying. He was doing all the things that he was called upon to do in the presence of God. And yet, he struggled with believing God. He had been praying all of this time, and he struggled with it. I have to be honest with you. An angel stood before me, and I knew for sure it was an angel. And he said, I am Gabriel, by the way, who stands in the presence of God. You know, I'd probably be just like Zacharias. I'm struggling with that whole belief thing. Let me ask you, you ever been in a place in your life where you felt you were really following God? You're praying. You were asking God to intervene in a particular situation, and it just seemed like your prayers hit the ceiling. I think that's probably how Zechariah felt. And now the angels tell him they're going to have a kid. He's going, no, we're not. We're too old. It's just, it's biologically, it's just, it's, I just don't see it happening. You seen my wife? She looks good for her age. But, guys, it's always that but that will always get you, all right? But she's beyond those years. The angel said, here's the deal. You're going to be mute. If you can't say the right thing, we're not going to let you say anything. And you women are thinking, oh, I wish God, Gabriel, would talk. Come and visit my husband. I know what you think. There was a crisis in their life. But in verse 57 through 66, you see a celebration that they had. Why? Because as it says, the time had come when she was to be delivered. And she brought forth her son. And you read the occasion. It's an exciting thing. It goes on, talks about the eighth day they're taken to be circumcised into the synagogue, the temple, and they come, and they were going to name him after Zacharias. They said, no, his name's going to be called John. And they had to bring a tablet to Zacharias, so they were going to take Elizabeth's word for it, They want to hear it from the Father. And so they had to bring him a tablet. And he wrote down, call his name John. Why? Because he knew God had a purpose and plan. God was going to fulfill something great in his son. Because this was God's purpose and God's plan. And they rejoiced. And it says that their neighbors rejoiced with them. So now let's run over and look at the preaching of John. You see the proclamation about John. You see the parents of John. And we can relate with them and what they were going through. But I think it's important to look at the preaching of John. One, his preaching and his life fulfills the Old Testament. Let's look at, first of all, the purpose of his preaching. The purpose of his preaching. When you look at Luke chapter 3, notice what it says in verse number 3. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. He was preaching a message of repentance. That the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You find that in other passages. Go to John chapter 1. And you just put your finger there, because we're going to come back to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, we see in verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. The whole purpose of his preaching was to be a witness of the true light that was coming into the world. His preaching of repentance was about being a witness of the true light that was coming into the world. When they asked John in Luke chapter 3, they asked John, what are we to do? As he's preaching, they're saying, what are we to do? He says, if you have two cloaks, give one away, meet the need of somebody else. And he talks to the tax collectors. What do we do? They said, don't collect any more taxes than you're supposed to. You see, the tax collectors were known to be crooks. Sound familiar? Anyway. They were known. They would skim off the top. They would do all of these things. And he says, you need to live an upright life. He's trying to give them an example of this true light. His message was to be a witness of the light, the true light that changes the lives and the hearts of men. We see not only the purpose of his preaching, we see the power in his preaching. You read about John. You read about those who were baptized by John. John baptized our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you get to John chapter 1 and you look at verse number 35 and it says, and again the next day John stood with two of his disciples. You see, John was preaching, John was declaring the message, John was bearing witness of the true light. John, through the power of his preaching, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, God used him, and there were people who believed and followed him. And it's evident right here because it says John was there with two of his disciples, one of those being Andrew, and perhaps the other one was John, the writer of this book himself. And notice what it says. And looking at Jesus, he said, who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. Now remember what John's purpose is? Is to bear witness of the light. He sees Jesus and he tells his disciples, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. He fulfilled his purpose. There was power in his preaching because people believed in what he was proclaiming. And what he was proclaiming is our last topic, is the person of his preaching. He is to bear witness of the light. What light is this? It was the true light. The light that lighteth every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Verse 10 of John chapter 1. And the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, speaking of Jesus, to them he gave the power or the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is the person of John's preaching. Jesus, Messiah. John's life was foretold. It was forecast that there would be one crying in the wilderness. And you read about John's life, you read he was in the wilderness. Jesus even asked some of his, what come out you to see? A reed shaking in the wind? Somebody come out here seeing somebody well dressed? Because you know John, he's a peculiar dresser. Yet God had a purpose and plan in it all. And John's significant is that he was the forerunner that was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures of the coming of Messiah. To the extent you read John and the book of John, and John the Baptist asked the Lord Jesus, are you the one, or do I need to keep looking for another? And John talks about his baptizing of Jesus. And he said, you know, I was told there would be one that the Spirit of God would be upon him. And as I baptized him, I saw the Spirit of God descending upon him. You see, John the Baptist affirms and confirms that Jesus the Christ is Messiah. And so John becomes an important piece of the puzzle in being, from an apologetic point of view, as an apologist in affirming who Jesus the Christ is. Because John fulfilled the Old Testament prophets about the forerunner of Messiah. And he said, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Listen to me this morning. God has a purpose and plan. He had a purpose and plan when he sent Jesus Christ as Messiah. He had a purpose and plan when he sent the forerunner, John the Baptist. And it was all for you and for me. It was for the purpose of redeeming all humanity and reconciling humanity back to himself. People want to argue about Jesus and who Jesus says he is and how do we know that Jesus is Messiah and, you know, well, I understand the Old Testament prophets about Jesus. Well, just add one more layer to it. There was to be a forerunner of Messiah, a voice crying in the wilderness, and John the Baptist fits the bill. Messiah has come, Jesus, and he came to redeem you. 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 He came to redeem me. He came to redeem all of sinful mankind and humanity and reconcile them back to a holy and righteous God, Heavenly Father. I'm glad John came because he told us Messiah was coming. And when the forerunner, crying in the wilderness, it says, the Messiah will appear. And Jesus appeared. And Jesus did and carried out the plan God had for the redemption of humanity. With heads bowed and eyes closed.